Blog Talk Radio.
You may think that it's over, that your life is done.
The best is yet to come.
Don't sweat the challenge, your battle's already won. Listen, y'all. See, God writes the end before the story began. Oh, he told me to tell you the
best is yet to come.
As the author of your faith, he wrote a provision for you to win. You're a winner, you're a winner, you're a winner.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
I don't care what people told you, you ain't seen
them. You ain't seen your best days.
Oh, well, my brother.
Your best day.
What you know?
Your best.
Is on the way. I see you eagle, I see you flying high. Ooh, you ain't seen nothing, you ain't seen nothing, you ain't seen nothing. I know you may think that you have, but God told me to tell you, you gotta keep on fighting, keep on praying. You ain't seen nothing.
From you, oh God,
Awesome, awesome. Good afternoon. Oh, I'm sorry. Good evening. It's wonderful Wednesday. Hump day. We like just said commercial said hump day, and it's good to be back with you again on Wednesday, Talking Sports Plus. I am the host, Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith, and again, I'm excited to be here to bring you some hot topics that's going to be just talking about what's going on in sports during the week. Now, our brand is the voice of the historical black colleges and university, high school, and middle school in the southeastern part of the United States. So we're real excited about having a chance to bring you some topics tonight. Now, at this time, I'm solo going by myself, and it's like that sometimes, and I'm ready to make it do what it do. Our call-in number is 347-857-4192. We want you to call in, and if you decide that you want to be a part of this show, you can call in with the number I just given to you and just press 1. If you have something you want to say or you just want to listen, you just can listen. But if you want to share your expertise on the topics we're going to be talking about, press 1. After you press 1, I will identify the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number, and then I will ask you to give us your name and your location. All right, another way to make contact with us is through our blog web link, and which is our Blog Talk Radio, which is www.blogtalkradio.com, the Smith Way Production, and you can hear the show, and you can check us out. But we look forward for you calling us at 347-857-4192. If you want to email the show, you can email the show at talkingsportsplus@gmail.com. Then if you want to tweet the show, you can go to @talkingsportsplus with the number 1, @LorenzoDSmith, @ElliotDarrell with the number 1, @TremaineEdwards with the number 7, and @Coach_ L_Smith. So that's what, those are the people that's going to be a part of our show. They're our co-hosts, and I'll be introducing them as soon as they come online. I'm going to give that raving introduction I always give to them, but I'll just mention their name while they're not here with us. I just know one is out on assignment, which is Touchdown Tony. He's over there attending a game, one of the West Side, called the West Side Classic, over at Carver High School in Montgomery, Alabama, and he's going to bring us a report later on in the show. Then the rest of them will call in and kind of share their thoughts about the topics we're going to be talking about tonight. So, again, we're so excited to have a chance to bring you this this type of sports talk show focusing on historical black colleges, high school, and middle school athletics in the southeastern part of the United States. Our title for tonight is Round Ball Classic 2019. And we're going to just try to talk about some basketball on each level, whether it's the historical black colleges, whether it's some things dealing with the coaches, which is a segment that we always have it. And last, we have some high school basketball recap. We're going to start our show off tonight with historical black college and university storylines. We're going to look at some college basketball week 3 recap. Again, you can be a part of it, 347-857-4192. Let's look at week 3 recap. We're going to kind of look at exactly what went on in the SWAC, what went on in the MEAC, CIAA, and SIAC. But before I go any further now, I have my first co-host that's joining us right now. He's dependable. Sometimes we had to do this thing duo every now and then. And I do appreciate him calling in at this time. This young man, when I get his opportunity, I'm doing not to introduce him. I'm so proud of him. He's a young man that hails from Central Alabama, Montgomery, who has taken his wisdom and his understanding, his love and caring up to North Alabama, up in the Huntsville area. He's a young man that has that famous saying that he uses. Now, it doesn't matter about other folks using it, and he wants to use it. It's ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. None other than our co-host, one of our co-hosts, Coach Tremaine Edwards. How you doing, Coach Trey?
How y'all doing tonight? Sorry for being late, Dr. Smith. Glad to be here, baby. Glad to be here. Hot topics. Let's get this thing started.
Hot topics. Now I'm talking about hump day, hump day, hump day, hump day. So we're going to make it do what it do. But, oh, we have a person we want to introduce in here. This person just joined us. And we ought to make sure we give that person a raving introduction as well. This person is our lady of the hour. She's our millennial, and my daughter is so proud to let everybody know that. None other than Coach Lauren D. Smith. How you doing, Coach?
I'm good. Glad to be on tonight. I'm ready to go ahead and get started. Go ahead and get talking, get running my mouth. So let's go ahead and get it started.
Let's do it. Let's do it. All right, let's start off with our title is Round Ball Classic 2019. We're going to look at the historical black college and university storyline. We'll start off discussing that Magic City Classic on the hardwood between Alabama State University and Alabama A&M University that occurred this past Saturday in Birmingham, Alabama, at the Bill Harris Arena over there on Fairground or Fair Park. And we want to talk about it. They had two games. They had a women's game going on and a men's game going on. The score for both those games was Alabama State University 72 for the men's and Alabama A&M 54. So they cruised over Alabama A&M, and that's how it was written, the Magic City Classic on the hardwood. Then we had the young ladies of the women, ASU 60 and Alabama A&M 46, and they was led by freshman guard Ayanna Emanuel. She has 17 points and 5 rebounds. That's how the scoring went. Let's talk about the Magic City Classic on the hardwood. And I'm going to share some personal things that I saw that I can make sure we'll make sure we attend the one that's going to be here in Montgomery at Alabama State University on the 15th or 16th of February. Go ahead on, team. Let's talk some basketball. Is Are we there, Trey?
I'm here, Dr. Smith. I don't have much to say about this situation, Dr. Smith. We done got our heads knocked off the last couple weeks. just trying to get over the hump. We trying to get a win. Dr. Smith, we was close, fighting everybody hard right there. We got a big win against Grambling. You know, wasn't expecting that. But for Alabama State to knock our heads off by 18 points, I mean, Dr. Smith, you heard when I called you. I think it was the home court advantage, man. We need to be at the house. We need to be in the hot box, baby.
Right there. That's awesome, Trey. Coach Lauren, let's hear your thoughts on that one.
Well, I'm really surprised to see Alabama State actually winning. You know, I have a big problem with how they play their games before they get in the conference. They get blown out by 30, 40, 50. So it kind of discouraged me when it's time for sweat basketball. So I'm like, what, are they that bad? Like, come on now. But to hear that they handle business is surprising, and I'm also glad about that. I bet the game Saturday, so I can better tell you what it's really looking like, because you know basketball, that's my forte. So I can go and kind of put my like old folks say, put your eyes on them and see what the see what it's looking like. Can have a better assessment. But I heard they did really well, but you know. Sometimes Alabama State, they do good one week, and this is like they never touched basketball day in their life. So we'll see Saturday.
Awesome, awesome. And I tell you, since I was the eyewitness there, I tell you, it was not an eye-opening to me, because I saw them on the first game, and I saw the capability of the level of play they had and some of the players they was using to play. It's still that cycle of substituting everybody in every 2 minutes. However, it seemed like when he's swapping out one player, the other player is not missing a beat. So that's what the real positive part about it. They look like they're equal and they're meshing together. And they also did that first game, which was Grambling, if not mistaken. They put Grambling. They beat them something like 16 or 18 points. And it was just that methodical way of playing basketball, you know, making sure you move the ball around, get it to the right spot. Then they have a bunch of three-point shooters. I can say that Reginald G, he fills the basket up when he has an opportunity to fill up. Jacoby, which is their point guard, but he's really no longer the point guard. What has happened is that they have brought in another young man to be the point guard and then moved Jacoby, who was all swag as a freshman, to that off guard, and they are filling it up. So I saw some good defense. Again, they're not big. However, they're aggressive. They play, they put pressure on people, and this is probably about, I can say, about the best group of non-superstars, I call them, you know, those great players that sometimes Alabama State have every now and then. But they play at a high level, and they're 4-1 in the conference, just half a game behind Prairie View. So you kind of see where they're going. And on the women's side, you have the game, which is 14 points. They had a freshman, Iona Emanuel. She scored 17 points every time she touched the ball. And she's supposed to have been one of the big, and I guess you don't have forwards no more, point forwards, you got everything now. And every time she touched the ball, she took Alabama A&M person, regardless who it was, to the basket. Took them to them every time, and either got a foul or either made the shot. So we saw a situation where they may be kind of putting it together, but we'll know more because, like Coach Smith said, when you look at those preseason games, even though they're kind of toward their record, and they're getting beat to sleep by 40 and 50 points in these Power 5 teams, but they play at the same level because they're considered Division I just like those other schools are, and they're just not performing, but somehow they managed to gel at this point. We'll see how it goes this weekend and Monday because they have two home games, and the key to it, and both coaches on this line can tell you, you have to win all of your games at home and then do your best to win about half of them on the road. That'll give you a chance to have a real good record. That way you can actually be competitive in the tournament because you're seed. Because they only take the top eight teams. They take the top eight teams. The ninth and tenth teams stay at home. So you take you, if you can make in there one, two, or three or four seats, you're going to have a good have one of the team on the bottom side, and you'll have a chance to be successful. So that's how that went, and we were glad to see the success of those Hornets in the Magic City Classic on the hardwood. We congratulate Alabama State University, both Coach Jackson, the Jacksons, and that's Lewis Jackson and Frieda Jackson are both of the coaches of both of the schools. So we'll applaud them and say, hoorah, congratulations, keep on grinding. Let's get to our coaches' corner. We're going to discuss the latest on Alabama, at the University of Alabama, ever-changing coaching staff. Team, tell me what you think about that.
You're talking about the football turnovers?
Football, yeah, we're Dallas talking football, I'm sorry. Alabama, University of Alabama football, yeah, coaching changes.
It's going to happen every time you get experienced coaches, Dr. Smith. If Alabama wants a coach to stay around, we're going to have to get an inexperienced guy that is just coming into it, and we're going to groom him. The only surprise I saw was Tosh, the defensive coordinator, when he left. But I think they were setting something up with Pete Golden anyway. So I'm not really surprised this happens every year. Saban was acting surprised this year, but Saban gets guys that are already ready to go, and he's rebuilding the same way. He's getting up some more young talent that is going to be ready to go. He has a little seniority. He has Sunseri, brought Sunseri back, and he got a guy from Tennessee. So he's building his roster, his coaching roster back up. And he also just got a receivers coach from Virginia Tech, pretty good guy. So we're going to see how that works, see how this guy works with our receivers. So he's putting people in the right place, man. Can't complain about Nick, but Nick Bill's head coaches and guys are going, they're getting raises. So you're going from a receivers coach to a offensive coordinator or a defensive coordinator to a head coach. So the Nick Saban system works. Trust the process, Dr. Smith.
Yeah. Sound like a winner. Coach Smith.
I agree with Coach Edwards. You know, he grooms his coaches, and that's one thing I like about Nick Saban. But as a coach, I kind of like the inconsistency. You know, some guys are there 4 years. Some guys go through four defensive coordinators. So I don't like the inconsistency. But as Coach Edwards was saying, I mean, that's how it goes. And you know, if you're going to come to – you're the coordinator at Alabama, it's just grooming you for another position as a head coach. So he does an amazing job with that, but I just want to see some consistency. And they brought Sunseri back, and they also got his son, Vinny Sunseri. So that should be very interesting. We know Nick Saban likes to hire former players, so that should be very interesting coming springtime.
Okay. And one thing about it also, I think each year Nick Saban expect coaches to leave, and there's nothing wrong when you have the blue blood program. That's what they call at the top up there, those blue bloods, and you have coaches. They're gonna be there looking also for something else. You know, you can look in the last five, six. You know, out of the last 9-10 years, we had 11 coaches to leave. Not count Loxley and several others that's left this year, but before 11 of them were head coaches. So they didn't leave just to make a lateral move. Now, one of the big questions came with Enos. He left to go to Miami for people would say a lateral move, but it was not because he was not officially made a name as the offensive coordinator. So that was one of the things. Now, one of the things that all the pundits and talking heads, and I want us to kind of jump in and see if you kind of think this is what's going on. If you go back to the last 4 or 5 years, Nick has had coaches who was a little bit more mature and a little bit more more or less understanding the coaching and the X and O. One of the things Nick went to for last year was to get more younger coaches who was great recruiters. So the bottom line is some people believe that was something that hurt in the end when he played against some of the team he played against, or when they said from LSU on down. Now, I kind of want y'all thoughts. Is that one of the things we saw a little bit immature as a coach? Those coaches he had on the staff, and all of them decided to leave because they was not really ready to coach. And Todd, he left to go to Cleveland, and some people said it was sort of like a deal worked out, so he wouldn't go to Georgia. And that's not saying he won't go out there and come back and go to Georgia, but he's an excellent recruiter, however, he's not that person, and he might be a great X and O coach, but being a defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, you have to think and react and come up with the right plays while you're on the field. And it's not all about what you put on the paper. You can strip anything you want for the – and Coach Romaine can tell me the first 20-10 plays. But after that, you got to start giving the flow. You got to be able to – and that's where I thought that where he was lacking at. I thought he was immature because I saw some things in the spring that I was not comfortable with him when he asked the defensive coordinator. So I think that caught up with in the game against Clemson, not so much of – the way it's been made to seem because of 44-16, but I think it just caught on some crucial decision, the right plays being made down there around the goal line that you should be scoring off and you're not scoring. So those are kind of things that I think Nick said he's no longer want to deal with it. So he's bringing in some mature coaches. You know, Sarkisian is supposed to be a possible one of the coaches as a offensive coordinator. And then you also have Butch Jones still up there. He's going to be moved from analyst to a coaching slot. So he's getting more mature coaches around him to make sure they're in position to make those right decisions. So this is the move. Everybody look at it as the decline or the fall of the dynasty. I see as by having these coaches going in and out, I just see them making moves because people are leaving. Some are coming there for a short stay. Some are looking for something on their own to be head coaches or C's, DC or AC. So I think that's what we're kind of looking at that point. So what we're going to do, we're going to keep an eye on that situation, and we're going to continue to talk about it as we go through the off season. And as you know, in a couple of weeks, you got recruiting coming up, and that'll be something else we talk about. All right. Another topic we want to talk about out in the coach's corner is Clemson favorite to repeat? Tell me what you think, team. Is Clemson favorite to repeat as national champion? Tell me what you think.
Dr. Smith, I think they're in the conversation, but as to repeat as a national champion, I don't see it. I think they're losing a lot defensively. Defensively. I'm going to just say that defensively and on the O-line, I think they're losing a lot of guys. But Hunter Renfrow finally is gone. So it seems like he's been there 8-9 years. He's gone now. He looks like it too. So I'm going to give Clemson will be in the conversation. But as far as repeat, I can't see it, Dr. Smith. It's going to be tough. I'm going to tell you this. I really see the SEC after a down year. I'm going to say this, a down year for the SEC. I didn't think the SEC was really tough to me, honestly. The SEC East will be stronger this year. The SEC West will be competitors. But as far as the ACC, I can't say anything about them, Dr. Smith. I still can't respect the ACC. That's why I didn't respect Clemson much in the championship game. So I was really surprised with the things they were doing. But like you said, Dr. Smith, it wasn't the players on the field. We just got out-coached in that game, Dr. Smith. It wasn't – we compared the stats. I even put the stats on Facebook. And you know, I'm hearing people saying Alabama got dominated. If I erase the score, Dr. Smith, the game's very competitive because Alabama is right there in the mix. The only thing that was – not that Clemson won was the third down conversion. So, honestly, we got out coached that game, Dr. Smith. My players played at Bama, but we got out coached. We was out of position, which we was all year. Now, the offensive side is what really shocked me. But like you said, Dr. Smith, it was a couple of questionable calls in that goal line set down in the red zone that I didn't agree with. We didn't maximize our opportunities when we got down there. But glad those guys gone. Kudos to where they're gone to. Good. I hope they have a great year next year. But we still rolling tide. Trust the process, Dr. Smith.
All right. Trust the process. Coach Smith.
So I agree with Coach Edwards. I call you Trey. I agree with Coach Edwards. I don't really respect the ACC. So when Clemson runs through it, it's like, okay, who are they playing? Florida State is terrible. Who else is Duke? Come on, man. North Carolina, come on, man. So I really don't see them being contenders. I'm gonna say this, and I'm probably gonna get a lot of slack for it. I kind of see Oklahoma being a contender more than Clemson. I don't know, just because who they got at quarterback now, but I kind of see that them being a contender more than I see Clemson. And of course, Alabama's gonna be a contender. My interesting thing is to see how Ohio State adjusts. They lost their quarterback, and person they have coming in, whoever it shall be, it's probably not as good as who they had last year. So, Clemson, no contender. I'm gonna say this: Oklahoma, yes, of course, Alabama, you know, Ohio State, and maybe Georgia. We gotta see. They kind of let me down this year, but yeah, that's all I got for that one.
Okay, and when we look at it, we're gonna kind of do a little, since we're talking a little bit about favorite and who's favorite, and I think Trey, you brought up something that was very important. You know, whether people take it for granted or not, is what conference you play in and the competition you get from week to week. And sometimes you can kind of slide through situation, protect some people. But I do think that one of the things that I'm going to take away, that Clemson will be competitive, going to be at the top, going to be ranked number one when you start the season off. But one of the things people are not really seriously looking at is that those four players that came back on that defensive line meant a whole lot. And everybody think that just because they got some people in the back of them, that's going to all of a sudden going to step up. The truth of the matter, that is not that easy as being said, because you're talking about among them guys over probably 20 some years of experience. If you say it was five or six rotated in there, and they're going to be gone. So I really think that what's going to probably happen, and we have to be very serious about understanding that, is that we have to realize that those four players just did not hit the level. I'm saying that the players that backed them up, the ones that gone, you can't do that, but they was at a high level. It's going to be a drop-off, and when your defensive line is not up to the level that you really think it should be, then the bottom line is it's going to be some holes in there, and you might have a hard time stopping teams in a big game like that. Another thing I want to kind of throw at the team is that, do you think by Alabama having all those blowouts in the beginning of the year, did that hurt them in the end because they weren't getting that competition in the beginning of the year? And I just want y'all to share some thoughts, and I'm going to share some thoughts on that as well. Those blowout games when they playing, when two are only playing two quarters or playing one quarter, the defense really not playing a whole game and not doing, which I thought the year before, I thought a lot of those guys was playing all the way down to the fourth quarter and people was complaining about it. Tell me your thoughts on that, team. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, I go ahead and go. I think as fans, it kind of spoiled us a little bit, and we kind of missed kind of what the holes were. We already knew coming the season defense wasn't that great, and I think because the offense was better than the defense, we kind of dismissed it. So we thought, you know, you get down the line, we get a tough game, the offense is gonna be able to carry us, and as we thought, it really wasn't the case. So I kind of in that way, I think it hurt because we kind of lost focus on how the defense struggled. I won't say it was bad, but how they struggled because we were blowing people out. So if anything, I really thought the defense, let me not say it. Yeah, the defense got spoiled by it.
Okay. All right. Defense got spoiled by that. Trey, you got anything you want to share on that end? I think we may have lost Trey. However, let me just kind of I kind of think that the number of downs that you play is important. And I understand because your offense is so prolific that you didn't get a chance to play that. I think in the end it kind of took Tua out of it as well because he wasn't playing a full game. In a lot of cases, it's good to have that kind of offense. Proven fact, Kansas City Chiefs was offense was so explosive, it was hiding the weakness of the defense. Now, when you got an offense that's just as explosive as you are, and their defense is about average, it catches up with you. So I think that's a thing that kind of happened to Alabama. Not saying that they won't be any different next year, but it's the approach you take, a number of snaps that you take, and you had to take a lot more than sometimes 30 snaps. You had to do 50 and 60 snaps. So we have to look at that and kind of see what way the direction, the change at the University of Alabama is going to help them change so they will be able to be in the wars and in the fight in the end or in the fires in the end so when they get out. Then a few injuries played made a part with Alabama. It seemed like one injury sometimes gets them. The year before, it was one injury. It was Jennings. And another year, this year it was Christian Miller on defense, a defense injury. They need to be able to put people in there that can keep that level of play just that high, regardless if that player go down or not. So that's one of the things we're going to look at and we'll continue to talk about. And that could be an adjustment that Alabama can do because that was one of the things we was looking at also as a topic. What adjustment should Alabama football make after that? The worst defeat in Saban tenure. And that would be some adjustment. He's getting more mature coaches in that. And then he also making sure that those players understand that we're going to have to grind and grind and grind. And then we get in a game like that, we got to still grind. So we look forward to see some things going on. All right, our next topic. And I hope we can, Trey, I still have you on the line. And make sure you're with us when we talk about this one. All right, about the GOAT. Who is the GOAT? It's the greatest of all time between LeBron James, who had 8 appearances in the championship game with 3 championships. Tom Brady has 8 appearances with 5 championships. Now Tom Brady has 9. That was a discussion. The talking heads and pundits was talking about who would be considered the GOAT between those two individuals. Now, if you want to be a part of this, you can call in, too, 347-857-4192. If you're on the line, all you have to do is press 1, and I identify you with the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number. Then I ask you to identify yourself and then have our discussion about what's going on. So who is the GOAT between those two individuals? And we are looking at championships. We are looking at appearance because that was a comparison, is how many appearances. It was 8 and 8. So now Brady has moved to 9. So what is your thought? What are you thinking about that in regards to that?
Dr. Smith, I'm going to say this. I look at GOATs in different sports. Now, Tom Brady is, to me, going to be the greatest quarterback to ever play the game. To me, in the NFL, he will be the greatest quarterback ever. LeBron James will be, if not the top player in the NBA, one of the best to ever play the game. LeBron James probably has about 5 more years. How many championship appearances he'll get in 5 years? I don't know. I hope 5. But I'm gonna go from there. But if he can pull off at least 2 in these next 5 years, he might get that GOAT though, Dr. Smith. So we'll see. But I like those 2 people you just named. I like LeBron for one of the greatest players ever to play the game of basketball, and I like Tom Brady for the greatest player ever to play football. So I'm gonna leave it like that, Dr. Smith.
Awesome. So Smith, what do you think?
So Tom Brady, we're talking about championships appearance. It's gonna be Tom Brady, but I'm gonna have to go with I'm talking like GOAT status. Like, I look at GOAT status as not only what you do off the on the floor, but like off the floor. I'm gonna go with LeBron. I think humanitarian work makes you a GOAT because it makes you an all around person. So I'm gonna go with LeBron. Tremaine said LeBron has 5 years left. I do not believe the man has 5 years left. I give him 3, and out of those 3 years, I see him probably getting back to the NBA Finals once. It depends on how Golden State shakes out during the free agency period. But if LeBron James can win at least one more, I'm going to have to give it to LeBron.
That's awesome. Awesome. You know, that's what we're talking about. It was the comparison between the two, the comparison between LeBron and Tom Brady, because both of them had 8. Now, we have to understand Tom Brady, 41 years old, and seemed to think and feel like with whatever medicine he's spending or whatever money he's spending, that he will be around another 3 or 4 years. And I won't be shocked, because he's 41 now. Ain't no telling what can happen, what kind of medicine he's taking. You know, it's just like LeBron always stated that he spends over $1 million a year on his body to make sure his body up to par. And I think this what's happening with him now is not a concern, and I don't want us to think it's a concern, but I do think that LeBron preferred to be on the floor instead of sitting on the bench. But everybody, those medical people trying to keep him from make causing more damage and allow him to heal, because he just had a running because the ticker tape said that he won't play on Thursday against the Timberwolves. So I guess he's waiting to play on Saturday or something against the Rockets. So we're kind of see what's going on, because I think when he get back, he's going to be a reckless force. You know, Harden got all these games with 30 or 40. I think LeBron's going to have 30 or 40 for the rest of the season, because he's going to score, because he know they're at a point where if they don't win, they're going to be left out of the playoffs, because they drop down below on the I think it's 23 and 25 or something like that. And they're outside of the playoffs looking in right now. So they're going to have to go to work. And LeBron will go to work. And then the trade deadline is coming up. So we'll see who he trades for as well, and see who they trade to put beside LeBron so they can be successful. So, but and you're looking at the difference between, like Trey said, and as Lauren said, you know, you got LeBron. He's the GOAT. He had been to 8 appearances and won 3 championships. You have Tom Brady, been to 8 appearances before the other day, and he had won 5. Both he's going to be as the all-time greatest quarterback of all time, because no quarterback have ever done this. No coaching duo have ever done this between Belichick and Brady. There's 9 appearances in the, you know, the championship game. And, you know, this is amazing. And it's Brady is important to it, because I thought he was a master. Those 18 years difference between him and that other young man did make a difference, because he was doing some things that wore the defense down. I'm not comparing how many passes they throw. I'm talking about what they was doing moving up and down the field. That defense for Kansas City was dog tired. They was tired at the end of the game, and that's why they couldn't, in overtime, they couldn't stop them. Vice versa, New England sit on the bench the whole time, their defense. So it was all to do with the quarterback. So we'll see. He's the greatest of all time in the football, and LeBron going eventually, because we can't overlook Michael Jordan. So he will be up there in the same conversation or close to that atmosphere. So that's one of the discussions we have. And we have two more discussions before we get to the end of the show. We want to talk about high school basketball. Touchdown Tony is supposed to call in and tell us about that game over Carver and kind of see what's playing on. But that's what we're going to talk about. Trey and Lauren, we're going to talk about the West Side Classic on the hardwood. That's number 4 ranked Lanier and number 8 ranked George Washington Carver. And that's going on right now as we speak, and it's getting close to be wrapped up. But we just want to discuss it and see exactly our thoughts on that end, because they already previously played this West Side Classic at Lanier. Now they're at Carver. But tell me your thoughts and tell me what you heard in regards to that.
Dr. Smith, they done wrapped it up. Carver won by 11.
Okay.
56 to 55. So
okay.
Carver
all right.
took their revenge on Lanier. And even the odds in the area, man. So, shoot, it's going to be a pretty good one, man.
It's awesome. So it's one at Lanier and one at Carver. So that is great. But that's a pretty much back-to-back loss for Lanier because they lost to Brubaker on Friday night. And then now they're losing to this game. But we kind of expect that. You're supposed to win at home. It's like Lanier beat them by 19. I knew there is going to be a game where the Carver's going to win. So that kind of put a wrap on that, put a bold count on that area. And I think the other two teams in there is Park Crossing and Northview, I believe. And I think they may be even Steven. I don't know, but we'll kind of look. And I'm saying I don't know because the last time I looked, they still have a couple more games. But I know at this point Carver has split with Lanier. And we're going to kind of see how that's going to turn out to see who win the area, to see who's going to host the area. But I still think both of the teams are going to pretty much be like it was last year. Both teams met in the championship of the South region out of Lanier and Carver. And the difference in that was like 3 points different than the final score. So it's close. It's going to be a close battle. We'll see if these younger guys at Lanier can come together and beat really one ball player that's a senior over there. So we'll kind of see how it goes. But I saw him play the first time, and it was a good ball game. I think Lanier, freshman ball player, had about 30-something points, hit threes all, and it might be a different. We score a lot better when we're at home. So, Coach Edwards, you want to share some thoughts on that? I'm sorry, Coach Smith.
The little freshman that you talking about, that's Coach's son. That's Coach Brian Wiggins' son, ain't it?
Yeah.
It shot the lights out of him here.
Yeah. Yeah, shot the lights out of him.
I knew he wouldn't do it at Carver tonight. So that's going to be very interesting how he adjusts as they continue. I think they have like a week or so left. Might be a week and a half. So to see how he handles that pressure, because if they can get him going when he gets down the area play and deeper in the playoffs, I think they have a shot. I think when we talk about, you know, the ticket, the Birmingham out there, South region, I think Lanier will win it. I do not think Carver will, because at some point you got to understand that one man can't carry you that far. I know they think he can, but he really can't. So that's going to be very interesting to see. The people in that area, Park Crossing, is terrible. I saw them play Blue Tech, and Blue Tech blew them out. Blue Tech was up by 40 almost at halftime, so they're terrible. Northview is terrible. I think Park Crossing beat them, so you can just imagine how terrible they are. So that's really it for that. Lee's on a roll. I think right now they've only lost, what, 3 or 4 games, so that they're looking pretty good. They'll probably run through that area. So you can see them at in regionals. Who else you have? Jeff Davis. They're not very good. If Jeff Davis won't beat Enterprise, so they probably won't make it to the regionals. We have no one else. BTW Magnet. I have to shout them out. BTW Magnet be a team to watch because you have nothing else to do. Probably catch some of their games, remaining of their games. That's all I really. Really know about Evangel Christian AISA. They're not number one. They're number two in their ranking. So they'll be somebody to check on AISA play. So that's really all I have for that.
Okay, and that's awesome. And I wanted to kind of say that there's a big ball game on Friday night. At Carver High School again. If I'm not mistaken, that's Robert E. Lee bringing in their 21-2 record, going to be going against Carver. So, you know, when they come to the, you know, however they call it, the House of Pain or Pound or something, talking about Carver High School, when they come to their gym, you don't walk away. So I don't know whether that record is going to stay the same. But I know it will be a packed house on Friday, starting at 4:30. So you can get there and kind of see how that's going to be. Lee is ranked number 2 in the state the last time I looked at the ranking, with their record of 22-2. Also, we have several other team ranks, teams like Brubaker Girls. They are ranked in that top 10, and I think they only lost 2 games. Last time I talked to their coach, that was 20. She said it was 21-2, and I understand they're still 22. Park Crossing was also have 2 losses. Their girls as well. Lanier girls are just competing, and Carver was outside of the ranking, and they, I don't know how they turned out. Probably Carver beat them tonight because they always swap hand in hand, and that's some of the things that are going on with the high school. We have still at the top Mountain Brook. If you're going to say the Power 25, you got Mountain Brook. Then you got falling in behind Mountain Brook. You have Robert E. Lee. Falling behind Robert E. Lee, you have Winona, and you also have Lanier, you have Carver, and several other schools. Pinson Valley, they ranked number 1 in the 6A, and you have Hillcrest out of Evergreen ranked number 1 in the 4A. So you just got a host of teams, a plethora of teams that are playing this game in the state of Alabama, and we're coming to the end. The end is coming up in a week and a half, as Coach Smith said, that they'll be playing the area tournament on starting on February the 4th through the 9th. So we'll be looking to see how then the sub-region comes that next week. And then the following week you have the regional that will be at Garrett Coliseum, which will be the South region, and at Alabama State you have the Central region, and then up in the North region, you'll have at Hanceville, you will have the Northwest, and in Northeast, you have at Jacksonville. But Coach Edwards, let me ask you now, Lee of Hanceville, are they going to be going over to Hanceville like they did last year, or are they going to be going to Jacksonville this year?
We'll be going to Jacksonville this year, Dr. Smith.
Okay.
Up, you know, from 5A to 6A, and we'll be traveling to Jacksonville, Alabama, to Jacksonville State.
Okay. So I looked out. I had a chance to attend that region up there last year, and I, you know, really thought it wasn't explosive. I'm talking about in Jacksonville, but with having Liam Huntsville up there, as well as is Jemison up going up there too?
Jemison, May Jemison. Yes, sir.
Yeah, May. So you're talking about a situation where you're going to have some real ball being played to bring it up to. They played up there before, don't get me wrong, but I think that comes up to another level when you bring those teams over there from Huntsville. And I think Huntsville will probably – is Columbia – where's Columbia going? They going to Huntsville?
Columbia will be in Huntsville.
Oh, man, that's a big streak. Coach Blandon. Now, tell Coach Blandon we're going to try to catch him at boat, catch everybody at the right spot this year. So the one being in Montgomery is going to be important. The 2 in Montgomery will save a lot of travel, but the other 2 will be there. And then the state championship, again, will be up at the BJCC in Birmingham, Alabama, during that last 28th, if I'm not mistaken, through the 2nd of March. So we look forward 28th of February through the 2nd of March. So we look at some exciting basketball as we get to the point, getting ready to wrap this up right here. And the last thing we're going to talk about is the state of Georgia. I want to mention their rankings because we did Florida last week. We had 5A Milton was ranked number 1 with Wheeler 2, Campbell, South Gwinnett, and North Gwinnett make up the top 5. Class 4A, Miller Grove, Sequoia. Miller Grove is 1, Sequoia is 2, Lovejoy is 3, Fayette County is 4, and Tucker is 5. 3A, you have Columbia High School, and then Washington is the 2nd team in 3A, Carrollton is 3, Monroe is 4, Troop is 5. In the 2A, you have Greater Atlanta Christian is number 1, South Atlanta School is number 2, Thomasville is 3, Laney is 4, and East Hill is 5, and in 5, and I'm sorry, in 1A, you have Whitefield Academy, Wilkerson County is 2, Terrell County is 3, Wilcox County is 4, and Paydilla is 5. And in girls, you have North Cross 5A, which is number 1, Madison County is 4A, number 1, Washington County is 3A, number 1, Buford is 2A, number one. And last but not least, in the 1A, we have Westland. So those are the rankings in the state of Georgia. So we're going to continue to look forward to having an exciting time as basketball comes to an end, as well as we get to March Madness. But we want to make sure we bring you the hottest topics on Talking Sports Plus. Again, our call-in number is 347-857-4192. We're at the end of the show, and I want you all to wrap it up. Co-hosts on some things that are going on that you want to share, just some things to look out for, and you want to share with our listening audience. Coach Trey, we can start with you.
Yes, I'm here, Dr. Smith. Great night, great convos, man. Things for this weekend. Lee Huntsville takes on Memphis Central on Saturday. That's a big game for us. Anytime we play a school from Memphis, it's usually a big-time game. Playoffs for the middle school starts up next week. I have more info for y'all Wednesday. The first night will be Tuesday. Hopefully, I will be talking to you after the first night and we get a good victory. We should be the one seed on both boys and girls.
So, all right, Coach.
At Chapman Middle School. So we'll see how that works. I should play the eighth or ninth seed. They have a play-in game. I will let y'all know more on that Wednesday. Y'all have a great night, Dr. Smith.
And you'll do the same, Coach. All right, Lauren, anything you want to share with our listening audience?
Yes, I have a lot of stuff to run down. So y'all, please bear with me. February 23rd, we're kicking off AAU season. I have the pleasure of coaching for the Alabama Roadrunners. We will be having our tryout, I think it's from 10 to 2. So I have more information. If you flyer, go to my Facebook, Lorien Smith, and the flyer is up. I will be posting it tonight, so it will be a current posting. Lastly, one of my kids had ACL surgery today. I want to shout her out, Kelsey Thomas. She was a freshman at Park Crossing. Unfortunately, her season has come to an end with a torn ACL. Kelsey, get better. The road to recovery is going to be amazing. And that's all I have. You guys get out and support basketball throughout the area, especially college, high school kids that's listening. Please get out and watch. You can't get somewhere if you don't know where you're trying to get to. So please go out and watch games in your area. High school's wrapping up. Congrats to everybody. Amazing season. Great show tonight, and see you guys next week.
Awesome, awesome. I'm telling you now, it's always good to be able to come before you. Like I said, we always excited to be before you on Wednesday night, as well as we on Friday. We're coming to you. We plan on coming a little later than our normal 4 o'clock at 5:30. Worked out real well last week, so we'll see if we can give that a chance on Balling with the Doc. That'll be at 5:30 on Friday, and we're going to give our hour show. And we're going to talk some more basketball on some of the hottest topics during the week. But with this, we're so excited to come here each Wednesday, not at full strength. Our 2-hour co-host was not here, and that's Darryl E. Train Elliott. You know, we pray that all is well with him, as well as Touchdown Tony, who was over in attendance at the game. And we was hoping you'd give us a call any then, but we do look forward to having them next week. And we're going to have an awesome show next Wednesday as well at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. We always have our preview show, which I will be hosting on the four vehicles on technology, Facebook, as well as Twitter, as well as, which is Periscope, Instagram, and YouTube television, which is a Smith Way production. Then also on Monday, we'll have our Talking Real to You show with the co-host of Coach Lauren D. Smith, and it's a father and daughter only blog talk radio show in the country, along with the other two co-hosts who are our experts, and that's Scarlett H. Black out of Greenville, South Carolina, as well as Dr. Olivia E. Smith out of Georgia. So we look forward to having an outstanding show on Monday at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. We want you to join us. But Friday, we got Balling with the Doc with our host on Friday. So give us a call, talk with us, go to Facebook, be a part of the show, because we'll be on Facebook as well. Again, it's just good to be able to come before you, and we just want to kind of share some positive information about sports. Our expertise, we do our the greatest effort to share. So as we leave, I always give my hashtag, keep on grinding, hashtag communicate four with the number four understanding. And last but not least, I want you to have an awesome night, a truly blessed night. I want to tell you I love you, and ain't a thing you can do about it. Have a great night tonight, and we'll see you. I love you. You're truly being blessed.
Crying so many hours, trying to make it right. Just didn't have the power, and you've ignored all my tears in the hopes they disappear. I tried to let it go.
Anybody know what I'm talking about? This is